Celeb Savant is a career retrospective type interview focusing on singers, actors, and industry experts. Join Barrett Edelstein now as he dives into the entertainment world.
Shane Codd is a DJ and producer from Dublin whose love for house music can be traced back to when he was a child, and its effect is fully felt on his breakout single Get Out of My Head, which nods to the late 90s, early 2000s dance sound, albeit with his own unique twist. Now Shane takes a step into a new era of music. Shane's key releases are Get Out of My Head, Rather Be Alone, and It Ain't Right. He has collaborated with the likes of Charlotte Haining, Welshie, Karen Harding, Lewis Thompson, Robert Harvey, Hayley May, Bryn Christopher, Silk City, and many more. Shane has over 220 million streams across the releases and on all the various platforms. Shane is considered to be a multi-platinum Irish artist. And up next on Celeb Savant, we've got Shane Codd. Where in the world are you and how are you doing?
Thanks for having me on, Barrett. I really appreciate it. And I'm in Dublin, Ireland, my home city, and I'm doing good.
Yeah, oh, that's
this
good.
Is
that's
where,
good.
This is where I'm from. So,
this is a question that came to me a little while ago. I know some people in the DJ production world, they choose a stage name as sort of a moniker for who they are. Why did you decide to go with your name and not create a stage name?
Oh, looking back, I probably should have. But I don't know. I just never really thought about it. And because I'd released my first track that kind of done well for me, I released it, Get Out of My Head, it was called. I released it like before I got signed to a label. So it was already kind of, you know, I was already DMing radios. I was already like kind of making a bit of traction on my own like that. And then I got signed to the label then. And, you know, it was probably a little bit too late to do it then. But I should have done it. I don't know. I never really thought of it. Like.
Oh, okay.
The annoying thing now is if you call, like, because Ireland's so small, you know, sometimes people might know me, like, just, like, which is a good thing, really good thing. But if I ring, like, I don't know, like, let's say my bank card gets blocked or like, I'm ringing the car garage to get my car fixed. There has been the odd time where somebody has said, are you Shane Codd the DJ? And I'm like, oh, yeah. But then it's just like, I'm just trying to get my bank. They're probably looking at my accounts.
Yes.
Yeah.
Let's rewind. At what age did you decide, whether it was a child, a teenager, you want to be in this production, creative world, space, and how did that journey progress to where we are today?
I always loved music from a young age. Like, you know, my dad used to kind of mess around on decks and stuff like that, and he used to always play the old 90s and 2000s trance music. And then growing up, I used to just watch like the Tomorrowland After movie in school the whole time, you know, like... Anytime we were at the computer, it was like just be watching that. Me and my mates were mad into Tomorrowland because that just started to get really big, like around 2014. Well, before that, 2012, 13, 14. And then I started doing college, like university, and I really didn't like it, like from day one. And I was like, what else do I want to do? And I actually, it's funny because at the time, Conor McGregor was really big in Ireland, yeah. Well, he still is really big, and he used to always say, you know, you can go for what you want to do, and you can, if you really want to do something, just go for it and work hard. And it kind of sat with me a little bit as a young, you know, teenager or whatever. And then I just started like learning how to produce music, learning how to DJ. And then I suppose around 2020 was when, around 2021, 2020 was when it started to become a career for me.
So were you surprised? Not obviously, you've been working hard. You'd learned all the nitty-gritties of how to do and create. So when it became a career, was it a surprise in the sense that, oh, this is actually happening? Or was it just the next step because you'd been working so hard?
I don't know what way I was feeling. I suppose it was a bit of both. Like I was working hard, trying to learn how to make music, trying to get whatever gig I could get, like the smallest club and birthday parties, everything. Like I was trying to get all the experience I could, and then it was just crazy. It was honestly just a whirlwind, because at one point, like I self-released my song at the time, I was telling you, And then, like, I just had all these labels. Like, I think I had seven or eight, like, major record labels start to DM me and message me. And then it was just, like, mental, like, them all, like, they were trying to sign the song at the time. And it just happened, it really happened very quickly then. You know, it was crazy. I couldn't even, it was just like, this is amazing, you know? So, madness.
So when all these record labels started DMing you, what was your thought? Was it like, okay, just go with it? Or was there any of that imposter syndrome that was creeping in?
Probably, Ellen. Initially, it was more of like a, who is this? I was like a skeptical. I was a very skeptical person, you know,
Oh.
paranoid. I was like, who is this? What's this about? And you know, I don't trust this. And then, because the people would just the A&Rs, the people who represent the label, they would just DM me off like their personal account, and like I didn't know, like, you know,
Yes.
who the people were following where and stuff like that. Then it ended up that they would actually were legit, like they were legitimately from the label. So yeah, it was a mad time.
How did you figure out that they were legit? Was just by through the communication? Was there a period of time that you just didn't even respond and just left it because you thought it wasn't real?
Obviously, yeah, exactly. And I think it was from just looking at their followers and seeing who follows them and posts that they're tagged in. Maybe an artist has tagged them in a post and they've
Okay.
gone like gold or platinum and something. And then I was like, all right, so he's actually le legit. And then, like, you know,
So you referenced when you started, you played whatever gigs you could get, birthday parties or whatever. Any weird, wacky stories that you could tell us about any of those gigs?
oh man, there was some weird ones. Oh, what was one of the weirdest ones? I don't like. Christening, you know, like christening, like a christening after party. Like I've done those in like the smallest little pub in like smallest town in Ireland, and they were just looking for like Johnny Cash and stuff. So I just played it like
Okay.
that was like proper starting out, like just trying to do whatever I could.
Good. What do you enjoy about performing live?
Just I suppose it's crowd interaction, and it's if they know your songs and they're singing them back, and you know they're really like giving you that like a great energy. That's the best thing, you know. People who actually are there and they love your music and stuff, there's no better feeling than that, like when they're singing your songs back and engaging, you know.
Okay, so I've got an interesting point of discussion around this. I discuss this with all the artists I interview. So I'm that dude normally up in front. I'm dancing a bit. I'm jamming a bit. I'll take my cell phone
Love
out
that.
for a couple of photos, couple of videos, and I put my cell phone away. I notice a lot of people around me, oftentimes, they have their cell phones out for 60, 70, 80% of the time. They're tweeting, they're posting, whatever they're doing, videoing. From the person receiving that, and also you reference their energy interaction. Do you not find that takes away from the energy interaction that you refer to, or it's just where society is?
Stuff, yeah. Like I suppose I was never really around as much in like before people done that, you know. But in another way, like you see the flashlight at facing at you, and you think, you know, this is good. They obviously are enjoying it. They want to remember the memory. So you kind of and in the flashlight kind of creates a bit of a, you know, oh, you see all the lights. You know, it looks
Yeah.
cool to you, and so you kind of think like, oh, they must be enjoying it if they're videoing it. So there's a little bit of that as well. So yeah, there's a bit of both there. I get what you mean.
Okay, cool. Now, obviously, you perform at festivals, you perform headline your own shows, and you perform sort of at smaller clubs and venues. You bring the same energy and enthusiasm to all. But what is the difference for you between those three different types of shows?
Yeah, I suppose it's just a different vibe. At a festival, you can go a bit. It's just yeah, it's just I suppose a little bit different every time. If you're doing your own show that you've sold the tickets for, your own show, and people came to see you, I suppose it's a bit more about engaging and, you know, really appreciating the people that are there and really getting to engage with them. Maybe like having staying for a bit of a chat after if you can as well, stuff like that. And then festivals is just, you know, big stage, just loving it, taking it in. And then I suppose clubs are just that bit more, yeah, a lot more drunk people.
Yeah.
It's a different, they're all a little bit different, yeah.
Different. From 0 to 3 to 4 minutes in creating an original song. What is that process for you? Is it easy every time? What in motivates and invigorates it? Let's unpack your creative brain.
It depends. It's always different. Like sometimes if I get an idea, if I'm listening to a track, or I'll get an idea for something, or right before I go to bed, I get like ideas that pop into my head sometimes, and then I have to record them on a voice note and then do them the next day or whatever. It's weird. And then when I sit down to do it, I suppose, yeah, it would take a few minutes to just get the melody down or get the beat down that you're working with. Sometimes you can not like it at first, and then you'll come back to it the next day and like, oh, I actually do really like it. Or sometimes it's the opposite. So it's always just mixed every time, you know. It's always just different every time. It's a weird one. Like even when I mentioned my biggest track so far, Get Out My Head. When I made that, when I first started making it, I wasn't like, it was just like a normal song to me, and I was just like, oh. But then coming back to it and listening to it, it was actually when I played it in my car about a week later, and I just got a buzz off it. So yeah, it's just, you can make a tune, but you don't really know until after, like
Okay.
maybe a few days after, what you really think about it.
Is that because you were so in the beginning, you were so busy on it for a long period of time? So by stepping away and then hearing it for a fresh minute will allow
I
you to
think
think,
so.
oh, this is cool, or this isn't.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, and you always get something if you step away for a few days and come back. You change. You start changing things, which is, you know, which is good. But yeah, I think it is that, because you're like, you can listen to it for maybe 2 hours straight, same beat, like just tweaking small bits, whatever, adding some bits in, thinking what'll be good. So yeah, you kind of over listen.
Now, you've collaborated with a bunch of different artists. I was looking at the list, Karen Harding, a whole mix of different artists. So, when you're creating an original, obviously, and at what point do these people come into the collaboration? Is it from the
Yeah.
beginning, or is it a late stage, or is it different for each one?
Yeah, it's a lot of times it's different for each one. Like, unless you do a session, let's say you're over in London, where a lot of people are kind of based, almost on Dublin. So I'll fly over there every now and every couple of months, do like a batch of sessions where, you know, you go into the studio with, say, singer, another producer, or maybe songwriters, three or four people in a room, working on a tune that day. And maybe it'll bring in, sometimes I like to bring in an idea to start with and like kind of run off that, and then we go whichever direction. So there's that way. There's also, sometimes you could just be sent an idea by a singer, like just a vocal that maybe they've written in another session, or maybe she like they've written at home, and then you could get a sample off YouTube. You could get, you know, an old tune sample, and just run off that and basically like remix it or whatever. And then you could start your own thing from scratch. There's loads of different things, yeah. Or even, as I said, sometimes you might get an idea in your head, or you know, you'll take it down on a voice note and go in that way. So there is a lot of different ways that a tune can start, definitely. Yeah.
Now, when you're creating, obviously you've created or collaborated with artists and producers that you've worked with a number of times, but then you've got artists and producers you're meeting for the first time in the studio. So in those
Yeah.
scenarios, does it take you a moment to get comfortable and through chatting, or do you just say, okay, these are just people, let's just dive in and see what happens?
Nah, 100%. I'd be a little bit of, I'd be one of those people who takes a minute to, like, you know, warm up. So it does, you have to kind of chat for a bit, and because you're going in there to, like, you just met each other right there and then, and then all of a sudden you have to just like make a tune together. So there can be a bit of like an awkwardness, or but sometimes you just click with people straight away and you start working on things. Or a lot of times what I find as well is, like, you know, when you click with someone, or the minute you play a bit of music, or you play an idea that you have, or you play a song that you can all relate to, then it's like these are all just, you know, getting along. It's like
Okay.
you're all there for the music, so you're just kind of you're kind of like, what's the word, I suppose, getting along over the music. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're kind of connecting over the music. So yeah, that it's the music that kind of helps.
So I know if I had to ask you this tomorrow or the next day, I know your answer will be changing every time because of more people coming to the space and et cetera, et cetera. But if you had
Yeah.
a sort of a bucket list of three artists that you have yet to collaborate with in this moment, whom would those be?
Definitely. I've always said, like, I'd love to work with Becky Hill. You know, I've done some remixes of her. I've done a remix of her track Space before. That was, and then I supported her. She done a show in Dublin. I supported her on her show here, stuff like that, a few years ago. So definitely Becky, you know, is one. She's amazing, you know. And then Calvin Harris would obviously be, I've always grew up listening to him. Who else? Probably like MK or someone like that, you know, someone. I have to think you now. I've always said Calvin and Becky would be really cool, and I have to think of the third one. It would be the probably MK or something like that. Yeah.
Okay, cool. What is coming up for the rest of 2024? What are the releases or plans? Are you allowed to tell us what's happening?
Yeah. So like, got a new track out. It's kind of a trance 90s 2000s. I was telling you earlier. I used to be very. I'm very into that kind of genre. So it's a 90s 2000s inspired track, and then I've got like other tracks that I'm just getting lined up. Like, we're looking at another one then for September, so looking to be very active with the music. Every 2 3 months maximum, get some new music out, because there was a period where it just went a little bit too long before I got a song out. You need to be active with it, so that's what I'm excited about now, is I have all this music ready to go and get it out, and then get new songs ready in the meantime, and just be active with the music, because it's kind of the way you have to be now, you know.
Why was that period of time that it was taking a little bit long? Was it just
It's like a little nitty-gritty bit of information. It's like, let's ask about that now. Get it in. Like, oh, I get what you mean. No, but do you know what? Yeah, just I moved management at one time. It was just a long period to get set up with my new, like, between moving and then finding a
yes.
new one and getting set up. So I didn't really get a lot of songs. I didn't really get any music out for 7 8 months, and it was kind of a lull period, which like, this was only like last year. So yeah, that's the difficult thing, is because you obviously, when you have your manager there, they can go to the record label, or they can go to whoever and say, look, we have this track here, and they've got a lot of connections. So that's the hard thing about the music, that I never knew anything about when I started, is the whole background business part. You have to, like, the solicitors, there's whatever else, there's accountants, there's managers, there's record labels, there's all that kind of stuff that you don't know about until you get into it. So I've learned a lot in the last 4 years, and I think I'm only getting started now, to be honest.
But it's actually, I suppose, it could have been a bit frustrating in the sense it was for 8 months you weren't releasing, but there were reasons for it. Because rather get
Yeah,
all those ducks in a row and
of
have
course.
that, then release off that, pedestal, then try and release
Yeah,
at the same time, because it's just we confusing.
exactly.
I
Yeah,
suppose, yeah.
exactly. Yeah.
Okay, so you reference the business, so I'm going to dive there. Another conversation I love having with artists. I love me a CD. I still budget for my CDs every month. For me, it's an energy exchange for you guys to say thank you for all the hard work that you're doing. I love the aesthetic of holding something, the journey of the choice, the receiving, the unpacking, the listening from song one to whatever number. I'm not
Yeah.
sure if you're aware that vinyls, even cassettes and CDs are on a massive comeback. Last year in the UK alone, 5.9 million vinyls, the biggest since 1990. I read a couple of
Wow.
months ago that in the UK, there's a basket of products that they gauge prices on for income tax. Vinyls have been in it all along, and because of the upward trajectory of CDs, CDs are now back in that product parcel. So we've got
Right.
these physical elements of consuming music, but then we've also got the digital platforms. What are your observations of the landscape?
I think what you said there about the CDs and the vinyls, like having the physical copy, and because I obviously grew up with them as well, so that is there is a different feeling to that. And then seeing, like, seeing the artwork on it and stuff like that, that's like, if that does come back, that's brilliant. Like, I think there probably is a lot of people that are the same as what you felt there. Like, was it what you were saying? They feel that kind of same thing, the connection with the whole journey of it. But yeah, it's hard. Like, streaming is kind of just so accessible, isn't it? And that's the thing as well. It's hard to know what way it'll go. It's hard to know what way it'll be in the future. Will it be like, Jesus, what'll it be after, like, the way we have it now? I don't know.
Well,
Some
I'm
sort of.
hoping that it's a balance of both, the accessibility of the streaming, but then the appreciation of people for the consumption through the physical. Because I
Yeah,
feel that people who only consume through the digital, I may be
there's
stand to
less
be
of a connection.
corrected here. It's very discarded for them. It's very, oh, I don't like, so let's skip, let's skip, let's skip. It's like there's no excitement, there's no anticipation, there's no, I'm putting it out there that it'll be a future of balanced physical appreciation
Hopefully.
and consumption and then the
Yeah.
accessibility of the digital.
Hopefully, yeah, totally get what you mean there. I remember like having CDs when you were younger, and you got the CD off the artist, and you wouldn't know the next maybe two songs, and you'd be thinking, what's this one? Will I like it? Maybe I don't like it as much now, but then a week later, I love that one. So it's things like that as well. And yeah, whereas as you said, people skip it is very discard like discarded or whatever. So yeah, that's hopefully we will get a lot of we will get a surge in CDs and vinyls. I think as you said, it's already happened. So.
And what's interesting, it's actually the young. The research is showing it's the teenagers and early 20s. It's not the older nostalgic people. It's actually the
Wow.
younger kids that are actually buying it and diving
No
into that
way.
world. So that's pretty cool.
That's really cool, yeah. So people are obviously buying CD players again and all this.
And what's so cool was I was actually living overseas. I was living in Israel and the UK, and I came back just before lockdown. So I wanted to buy a CD player for my CDs. And everyone was saying to me last year, oh, you can't find them anyway. There's no ways to buy them, blah, blah, blah. In South Africa, there's a platform called Takealot, similar to Amazon, but sort of different. And I went on there hoping for one option. And there were
Yeah.
hundreds of them. I had to narrow it down and narrow it down again. I eventually got my CD player. And what's also interesting is that I teach spinning classes. So I have my playlist for my spinning
Nice.
classes. And the same song on the same system off the streaming platform compared to
Yeah.
listening to the CD feels like in a stadium with all this sound.
No
It's
way.
amazing. But then when you listen to it off the platform, it's muted and a little bit small. And
Yeah, I get what you
obviously,
mean.
because you
Yeah.
guys have to shrink the file in order for it to
Of
be loaded up
course.
there. So it
Yeah.
makes sense, but just
Yeah.
the experience of the ears.
Yeah, I get what you mean. That's another element to it. So hopefully it really does come back then. And then as you know when you listen on the vinyl and you hear a little crackle and stuff like that, that's epic though.
I as I always preferred the CDs, was I was always worried that was going to be a scratch on the
Yeah.
vinyl. So Shane, I love this game. I know if I had to ask this question in 2 minutes, 10 years, 20 minutes, I know your answer will be different every time, simply because there are millions of them. I'm not saying favorite, I'm saying top of mind. If you had to push play to five songs by other artists once we finish this conversation, what would those five songs be and by whom?
Whoa, you think it. I'd probably go for a couple of different genres as well, just as we're touching on the whole CD thing and stuff. Like it's kind of bringing me back to like having the old like used to have like 50 Cent CDs and like do you remember like the now 100 and stuff like that? They were that we used to have them all the time in the car and stuff going to school. So probably it'd have to be some. I have to start with like some 90s, 2000s trancey stuff. And I always think of Alice DJ Better Off Alone. I just think it's one of my favorite songs of all time. Never gets old for me. Probably Gigi D'Agostino as well. Maybe L'Amour Toujours, another classic trance tune. And probably I'd definitely throw a bit of Calvin Harris in there as well. I really like Thinking About You by Calvin Harris. That was one of my favorite ones he done. The music video for that was really cool as well. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but and then probably 50 Cent. What would I go with? 21 Questions. Love that one growing up. And then what one left? Probably just Avicii Levels, just because I loved Avicii. It was my first concert I went to when I was 16. Blew my mind. So love Avicii.
Nice mix. Most of them already on my list. Just a couple I need to add. So thank you for that.
Nice.
So, Shane, the podcast is listened to throughout the world. As a final message, what would you like to say?
That's a final message to the
No
world.
pressure.
Keep an eye out for my children. It's
What's it called? What's it
going
called?
to be called Exit Lights.
Okay, cool.
So it's a pretty obscure name, but I'm looking forward to it.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Celeb Savant. Please follow Barrett on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook at Celeb Savant. That's CelebSavant.